You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
Incarnational. Of all the different messages that I've given and teachings, I've never started one with the word incarnational before. But Jesus was willing to leave the place of heaven to take on flesh that he might be able to communicate the word of God to people. And you know, incarnationally, that's what we do for each other. Once we understand Jesus, we're able to share Christ to one another. And that's just an example that we've just experienced and heard of God allowing one person to touch another person's life. Ladies, you often lead us relationally. Thank you for that. Thank you for showing the way in how to incarnationally come and share life together. It is Mother's Day, and want to say happy Mother's Day to all ladies, and also just welcome, and we're celebrating not just mothers, but ladies today. We traditionally do not talk about Mother's Day on this day. We typically are in a series. We just finished our series in Luke that we've been part of for the last 2.5 years. And we finished it last week. Next week, as Pastor Denny already said, we're moving on to Solomon. And so in this moment, we wanted to take the chance to just absorb what this day means in our culture and look at it from a biblical standpoint and offer two things, really, as a message from God. First, I want to encourage all of you ladies who might think that you have to live up to some standard in order to be good enough as a Christian woman. I'm hoping that as we unpack Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, which is a very traditional passage to speak about on Mother's Day, I'm hoping that as we go through this passage and we see what God is saying, that if you have a burden of thinking that you have to be some certain person in order to be worthy or to be praiseworthy as a woman, I'm hoping that that weight will fall off of you today. Secondly, a message to all of us, no matter what our gender, our age, or our role, God communicates today through this poem, this passage, that we can accept the worth that he has given us, we can build worth for others and the interest of others, and we can communicate, speak wise words to those people around us. That's where we're headed today, using this very traditional passage. So let's start with something very non-traditional. Let's talk about Shrek. Now, many of you remember the movie Shrek. There's been multiple, but we know that the first one was really the classic. And as you think about the movie Shrek, even if you've not seen the movie, you probably can take time to think about a scene that maybe you've been able to watch where Shrek is walking along beside a garden or a field, and Donkey's along there with him, and Shrek has an onion in his hand. And Shrek and Donkey are getting to know one another, and Donkey's just not understanding Shrek because his outside's kind of rough, and Shrek says to Donkey, "Donkey, ogres are like onions. They have layers, right? They have layers." I think that on this Mother's Day, there are layers of questions that are involved in Mother's Day for all of us, for women, and I want to just peel back some of those layers so we can get to the heart of what the Word of God is really addressing and invite you all into that. First layer, outside layer, stop thinking about lunch. Okay, I know you're all thinking about, hey, where are we going to go to lunch? Where are we taking mom? I wonder how many hours we'll be there because everybody's going to be at these restaurants. Will Steve get done by 12 o'clock? All those questions. Let's just peel those layers off. I am aiming for that. Let's just peel those layers away so that we can get to the heart of God. Now, the next layer is much more difficult. My wife, Kim, and I have been married for 27 years. For more than half of those years still, for 14 years, we were infertile. And that is just one hardship that this day can bring up. And there are some of you that are listening today, this is a very difficult day. And I'm going to ask you something very hard to do. I'm going to ask you to peel that layer away so that you can hear the Word of God today. I believe God wants to speak something to you, and I just ask you to work to peel that off. Hard call. Because I think that at the core question of Mother's Day is a question that we can all answer about all of us who've ever been born. What is a person worth? What is the worth of a person? And the poem that we're looking at, the passage that we're studying, Proverbs 10 through 31, addresses this very issue of what is a person worth. Now, the hard call here is that we're not going to read the poem until the very end. So let me just share with you its basic content. It asks the question about finding a woman of worth. Who can find a woman of noble character, the NIV says. She is worth more than rubies. And then it talks about her husband, a man who's looking for this kind of wife. And then it begins to delineate all kinds of things that this woman does that demonstrate the kind of person that she is, to the point which at the end she deserves praise. We will mention some of those details as we go along. We will read the passage together in the end. Let's start with this illustration, however. When I was in Honduras with a group of women, as part of our team, my wife was one. I think there were five of them. I was a younger man, and I was the son of a builder. And as a son of a builder, when you come to build something in a place, you kind of take a little bit of sense of, I got this. You know, I'm kind of strong in this area. We were building adobe buildings. It was 110 degrees in the afternoon. We were sweating. We were dirty. And as I was doing all this thing where I'm kind of like, I got this, I turn and I look, and all the women of the group are doing this. They're flexing their muscles, and they're saying, mujeres fuertes, which I had no idea what that meant. Mujeres fuertes. And there they are lined up getting a picture of themselves taken. And I'm watching this process, and not only did they take a picture, they actually took that picture and made T-shirts out of it. So for years and years, I saw this picture that said, strong women. And you know, God took that moment in my life as a guy who thought, hey, I'm the provider, I'm the strong one here, to understand that it's good for a woman to be strong. Women were never designed to stay in a place of weakness or be a place of weakness, just like a man is never designed to be in a place of weakness. God has called us to be people of strength. Look what this passage says. This woman in this poem is given an example of strength. This the woman or wife of, now the root word is strength. As a noun as it appears here in this passage, in the original language, it's worth. But behind worth is strength. A woman of strength or worth, who can discover, who can find? And far from or distant from rubies or precious pearls is her worth, Maker. Do you see it? Twice in the very first part of this poem, there are two references to what it is to be a strong woman, a woman of worth. Her worth is far more than worth, far more than rubies. The Young's Literal Translation picks up on this at the beginning. You see, at the beginning it says, a woman of worth who doth find. It's very literal. Yea, far from rubies is her price or her value. The NIV says it this way, a wife of noble character who can find. Now, that sense of noble character, I don't know what it communicates to you, but for me, when I hear noble character, I think of something that I have to live up to. I have to be able to do certain things in my life so that I can have the kind of character that I need to have because that's the person that I need to be. Other than a wife of strength or of worth, a woman of noble character who can find, she is worth. Now, they do pick up on the worth far more than rubies. That's part of the second part of the sentence. So I want to offer you the Fish Teaching Translation. All right? We're just going to combine the two. A woman of worth who doth find. I think that's the way it should be said because I say doth about every other day. So a woman of worth who doth find, she is worth far more than rubies. That's what this poem is about. It's about the worth of a person. It's about the worth of a person. Now, it's difficult for a weak person to give strength to others, to communicate worth to others. It's very difficult. Let me tell you about something I experienced just this Friday night. I went to the FCA Night of Hope, and I met someone, not personally, but I was introduced to someone. Her name is Tamika Catchings, and this person has gone under my radar all my life, and all of a sudden I find out that she's been in the WMEA. She's won championships, basketball championships as a high school student, as college, and multiple championships in professional women's basketball. She's won 4 gold medals. She is a cell. If you Google the best WNBA player ever to live, guess who comes up? Tamika Catchings. Now, just imagine that I was invited to be her coach. I am 5'8¾". I have a vertical jump of about 3 inches. If I jump really hard, I almost touch the bottom of the net. The young lady who was featured in our video, Leah Force, she is in our life group. And when she was in middle school, I took her on one-on-one in basketball. I tried to beat her. I did not beat her. Now, can you imagine me trying to impart anything to Tamika Catchings? You see, it's a position of strength that's able to build worth into people around them. That's why God says multiple times in Scripture, this is just one reference, God gives strength to the weak and he increases the power of the weary. They don't stay in a place of weakness. They don't stay in a place of weariness. Rather, God's giving them strength. He's imparting strength so that their weakness becomes strong. We were never meant to stay in a place of weakness. Rather, God wants to empower us to be strong. Ladies, if you've ever considered that in your Christian faith or reading your Bible that you ought to stay weak, everyone, if you think you ought to stay weak, no. God wants to impart strength to the weak. He wants to make us strong so that we are living examples, so that we are incarnational and sharing his power with him. He wants to work through us, but he also wants to move us to a power of position of strength. God does not mean for you to live in a place of weakness. You will be weak, but he wants to make you strong. So he offers ways that we might be strong. Ladies, don't be afraid to be strong. Fuerte. Fuerte. Men, don't be afraid to find a strong woman of faith. Fuerte. You see, women take positions, different ways of trying to gain strength. Some women use charm and looks. They try to have power over people by influence, I should say. Influence over people by charm and looks. This is not the way the lady in this passage. No, this woman fears the Lord at the core of her being. That's who she is. She's strong. Now, her value or her worth is not measured in comparison to others. This is so important. If you read this passage and you're a woman and you read this passage, I just spoke about this in the hallway with someone who the light bulb went off for her for the first time. She's probably in her young 30s. She's been reading this passage, this poem for years and thinking, how do I live up to the measure of this woman? This woman gets up early in the morning and she stays up late at night. Well, first of all, that's not true. She does get up early in the morning, but at night her lamp does not go out. That means her security light, her presence, that if something happens in the night, she's present, she's ready. It does all these things that we will talk about throughout the course of this passage, but she's doing all these things, and you can't believe to compare to her. Do you know you were never meant to compare, to be compared to this woman? This is not didache. This is not a teaching passage. This is a poem, and this poem was written to men. King Lemuel is who shared these words, and they were the words and teachings of his mother. The first 10 verses of Proverbs 31 addresses wisdom to men. The last 10 to 31 talks to a man about what kind of woman to find. That's the purpose of this writing, is to teach men how to look for a wife. And so from the very beginning of the poem, the introduction has a man in focus. He is not the focus. She is the focus, but the man is in focus. Let's look at it. Her husband, he has full confidence in her and lacks nothing. Notice that he becomes the subject. In the next line, she brings to him, he becomes the indirect object, she brings to him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Ladies, if you have ever read this passage and thought, I have to be like this woman, let that weight off. This isn't intended for that. It is written to a man. Not only that, but it's a poem. It's wisdom literature. It's not a list of to-dos. How do we know that it's a poem? I want to offer you quickly two parts of the structure of this poem. The Aleph Beit. The Aleph Beit is the Hebrew alphabet. We use from the Greek Aleph, or Alpha, Beta, and we make ours A, B, Alpha, Bet. And so we know A, B, C, D. We've been learning that since we were young kids so that we can know our letters. The Aleph Beit is the same thing in Hebrew. And this poem, for all verses from verse 10 to 31, go right down the order of the Aleph Beit. Aleph is kind of like an A. It's not really an A. That's too much information. Beit, Gimel, Dalet. Gimel's like a G. Dalet's like a D. It goes right down the order. Why is that important this morning? To remind you that this is not a teaching passage. It is not instructional. It is something that's offering a picture. A picture. Now, going even further into the structure of the passage, it'll say even stronger, ladies, what this passage is really about. It's called chiasm. It's named after the Greek letter chi, which is just simply an X. And the way that it works is, as you read the language, it comes down to a main point in the center of the X, just like we would say X marks the spot, and then it goes away from that point subsequently. Let's look at it from the passage. I hope it'll make sense to you. In verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. In verse 26, at the bottom of the X, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You say, well, how do those two relate? Well, in both things, she's giving to someone who needs something. One is meeting substance and needs. The other is need for wisdom and giving. But what you can't see in the English is that she opens her arms is repeated in the language, in the original language. She opens her mouth. She opens her mouth. Wisdom is how it would read literally. They're paralleling each other from the outside. The next set of verses, 21, 25. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Scarlet is the color of wool. Wool is the warm fabric for the wintertime in Israel. She is clothed, verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. Do you see the parallels? In one, she is clothing her household. In the other, she is clothed, both in strong ways. She does not fear when it snows because she's already taken care of that. In the end, she laughs at days to come. She has no fear. She's confident. She makes coverings, verse 22. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen, verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies merchants with sashes. Both are expressing what she's doing with clothing, and both start with, you see, she makes. This is moving us towards the middle, and in the middle, guess who shows up? And it seems so strange to be there, because all talking about her, and then all of a sudden it says, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. The point is to the man. It's telling the man, this is the kind of woman to look for. This poem teaches the qualities or traits associated with an idealized woman that sometimes are misunderstood to be ways that you have to compare yourself or measure up in order that you be a godly Christian woman. Take that away. Think about it. If you are giving advice to your child, what kind of mate would you suggest they find? This is Lemuel's mother telling him what kind of woman to find. My two daughters that I have in my household, boys, there's not a one of you good enough. Not here, not in the FLC, not in Fort Wayne. Actually, we can go global on this one. There is no boy good enough to marry my daughters, right? Because I have such hope for them that they would have such a person that would provide every need. And that is what we're reading. It is an idealized picture. Ladies, If you've ever tried to live up to this poem, take the weight off. This is not your strength or worth. In fact, worth is ascribed to us by God, every person now. It is ascribed to us by God. Another poem from Psalm 139. For you created, this applies to every person, whether you're in Christ or not. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is where worth is found before God. He created you, and you are his. And for those who have understood the secret that this woman's understood, that to fear the Lord is the beginning of the meaning of life, listen to these words. To God's people, I loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you. I have collected you in with hesed, loving kindness. I'm drawing in to myself. That's how great of worth you are. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says this on this plate. He will take great delight in you and rejoice over you with singing. This is a fish custom. This was started by not me in my house, but by a strong woman. See, it's on your birthday, and you come to the table. This plate is at your place to remind you of your great worth before God. He sings over you. When you've made a great accomplishment, something great, and we're celebrating your accomplishment, guess what comes before you on your plate? When our family thinks that I did an okay job preaching, sometimes when we all think, hey, that was pretty good, the plate's at my table. What's it there for? To remind me my worth is not in what I do, whether it's good or bad, or we think it's a home run or a bunt. Worth is found in who God sees me. And he's willing to rejoice over us with singing. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God and those of us in Christ. That is what we are. And one more picture that I think is so vitally important for every person to hear about the kind of worth that you have before the living God. He was willing to send his son out of the glory of heaven to be born in the most humblest of ways, to walk this earth, to show us what it means to have life in God and to be sons and daughters of God, but yet he was also willing to die on a cross, to choose the cross, even as we've been studying in the book of Luke, that he set his face towards Jerusalem that he might give his life as a ransom for many, because even while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his love for us that he sent his one and only son to die for us. That is your worth. Accept your worth. Don't ever allow your worth to be by the things that you do or comparing yourself to another person and the things that they do or even comparing yourself to the woman in this poem. No, your worth is intrinsically yours because of who God created you, every person in the room. Accept your worth. Now build worth for others. For the benefit of the others, build worth. We have four words that we have posted on signs on our walls and on the doors, if you still notice when you come in. It talks about four things that we focus on: prayer, prioritize, prepare, and participate. And under this idea of prioritizing Christ, making him first in every part of my life, is this verse from Ephesians 4. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And some people say, well, does that mean I have to be a righteous person? And no, you're living out what God has already called you to be. He has called you to himself. He has drawn you to himself by his loving kindness. And now you live a life that is worthy of that position of who you are. The same is true in this passage. This woman is providing for others so that they might thrive. She is building worth for those around her. What does she do? She's making food. She's providing food for her family. Why? Because they're so worthy. They're worth so much to her. Not only does the man provide, but this woman provides, and she not only provides just food, she's not just making rice and beans here, or chickpea and olives. She is going to the far places to bring a cuisine into her home so that the people around her enjoy and have thriving lives of around the table. She gets up early in the morning. She's a wealthy woman. It says that she prepares her clothes with scarlet and that she makes clothes in purple. That is a position of people of wealth. She is a wealthy woman, but decide that she is wealthy. She gets up early in the morning to prepare the food for her family. She can't go to the Kroger marketplace, so she gets up early to make food for the whole entire day. She's right there in the part of that process. She is providing and building worth to the people around her. She makes clothing for them. Clothing for each season. When we read the passage, you'll see that she works with wool and with flax. Wool, we understand. We make wool clothes when it's cold in the wintertime, and we wear wool. But flax, we don't. It's a plant, and that plant is gathered and dried. It's quite a process. Then it's smashed until you get the fiber out of that. And from the fiber, you make linen. And linen was used in the summertime when the sun was hot and beating down. She's providing, she's building worth to the people around her in every aspect of the year. She even prepares the thread. While we were in Israel, we got to see the example of the staff and the spindle. And what the woman did, the woman in this picture, she took and gathered a ball of wool and she tied it to the spindle. You can just barely see it pictured here. It's just an object that would spin around. She tied it to that and she gathered a little bit of the wool and then she spun that spindle. And as it spun, she just worked that wool down and it just, a piece of thread just came right off of the yarn. And then she wove it into the piece of garment. This woman, rich woman, is going through remedial task in order to what? Show the people around her how much they're worth to her. She's building worth for the interest of others. She gives leadership. She gives household tasks to her servants in the morning so that they can provide for the household that she's keeping. She considers a piece of land and she buys it. She plants a vineyard. She offers business. She's engaged in business. She's engaged in selling and purchasing of clothing and material to merchants around. She is doing all these things so that she might express a labor of love to those around her. In a summary statement, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You see, I don't think too many of us really relate to spinning wool or getting up early in the morning to prepare food for the entire day because there's opportunities to do other things with food these days. Not all women do all these things at all times, but our ladies around us are doing the same thing every day. They are communicating, they are building worth to those around them by the things that they do. Because they accepted who they are. Accept your worth. Accept what God has made from you. Build that worth into others. Provide for people so that you might show them what they are worth. And finally, communicate worth. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She opens her mouth, wisdom, and law of hesed, loving kindness, is on her tongue. Said very specifically in the Youngs, the law of kindness. Ladies, you can lead us in this area. You know what Scripture says to a man about his children? It says very specifically, men, don't embitter your children by being too harsh with them. You see, Scripture doesn't say that to a lady. Why? Because women have this nurturing, compassion, ability to provide hesed, loving kindness. And that's what we all can communicate to the people in our homes and the people around us. Not only do we accept for who we are, not only do we build worth, but what we say and what we communicate into the lives of others makes a difference for them to understand their own worth. And that's what she is able to do. Open her mouth and wisdom comes out because she is in a place of strength. She knows her worth. Let's read the whole passage together. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant Sips, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchant with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you far surpass them all. Charm and deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Thank you for joining me. I actually didn't intend that, but that was wonderful. Her children arise and call her blessed. See that the praise is now communicated back to her because she has demonstrated her to be a worthy, strong woman. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you far surpass them all. Isn't he now comparing her? No, he's not comparing her worth. He's comparing her to the woman in her praise, and he knows to say, "You're it, lady. You're all that," because that's what she is to him. Now look at the end verse. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Let's put that onion back together. Now that you understand your worth and understand what this passage is communicating, no matter what your circumstance, no matter how difficult, let that come back on and let your worth and who God sees you as and what he'll do for you influence that next layer. Now let's go to lunch. Let's go out and let's do what Scripture says. Honor her for her what her hands are done, and let her words be sung out. Men, children, go out, sing over your ladies today. Scripture invites us to do that. We'll ascribe to her praise, knowing that it is God who is worthy of all of our praise. Let's pray together. Father, thankful for your word and how it discerns the very core of us and speaks to the very deep needs that we have. God, I pray that as we go out and celebrate, as we go out and consider who you've made in us, I do pray that we would be, all of us, building worth for the people around us and communicating worth to them. God, thank you that you have taken us from weak places to make us strong, that you called us to be your sons and daughters. We give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.